Well, have you had a good day? Are you hot? Good? Happy? I learned a long time ago, get a pink bottle, people leave it alone. And then I went to Scotland just before I came here and I lost two pink bottles. So there's something about the Scottish and going pink, I think. I wanted to just take a moment. Dear Ryan, who want to thank him. I don't know if he's back, but dear Ryan, took all my PowerPoints and converted them and did them. And when he was looking through them, and he said, there's one slide you haven't allocated. Are you going to use it? And I thought, no, I'll leave. He said, I was really interested. Aren't you going to tell us? He's done the hard work. He deserves a story. So I want to take you for a moment to some of those times when God just hijacks you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're going along and God just gets hold of you and totally hijacks. And so this is a story of the hijacking of God. So do if it will throw up and is that going to work? You've done it. Is that the beginning of it or the end of it? I think that's the end. Last slide, isn't it? Is it the beginning? Okay. It's just starting in a place that I didn't recognize. Okay, if we go back, I have to fill in a story. I'm going to tell you a story of Moldova. This is the poorest nation in Europe, poorer than Albania. It is a landlocked little landmass sandwiched between Ukraine and Romania. It is about 4.8 million people statistically, but actually resident usually is about 2.9 million. That is because most of the generation between about 17 years old to 50 go into Western Europe and work. Many times the mum will go to one place, the dad to another, leaving their children in Moldova, in villages and other places, cared for by the grandparents. Now, you've got to understand, in the Moldova culture, many of them from the age of 7 have walked to the bakery, which is about a couple of kilometers, even up to 7 kilometers away, to get their bread and water each day. And when in winter time, come on, you Canadians will know this, it can be minus, 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 but they have no doors and no windows, just breeze box houses. So the only way the kids can make it there and back is they get pick up their loaf for 7 leis, which would be a couple of cents, but they get a shot of homemade toddy. So by the time that they are grandparents, nearly everything is alcoholic. So you've got a very dysfunctional, I mean, generalizations are bad, but God's doing something in this little nation of Moldova. And so I was in Australia sitting with the dean of a Bible school in Sydney there. And she said, there's someone you need to meet who I've mentored for many years. Her name is Sharon Eason. At the same time, my co-worker, Helen Azer, is in England taking a training day with leaders that I couldn't take. And she's sitting with a woman called Sharon Eason having coffee. Long story short, I end up in Moldova doing a women's conference for 2,500 women in a nation that's about 2.9 million and watching God do stuff. And then they said, we have a dream, so you can back the slide up. And they showed me this building and said, we want to build a house of refuge. Doesn't that look fantastic? And God's connected me with an amazing Danish couple called Johannes and Charlotte. And he said, this is what we want to build. It's a church at the bottom. At the top, it's a home for young girls, etc., etc. He said, can you help us? I said, what help do you need? He said, money. You know, the greatest gifts often we can give is mum and dad is money. They don't need our ideas. They've got all the dreams. Come on, it's the same as all parenting. How many of your kids want you to decorate their house for them? Give me away. How many of your kids asked you to plan the decorating? They might ask you to go do the painting. They don't want you to choose the color. How many of you get what I'm talking about? How many of your kids ask you to pay for the house? How many of your kids want you to choose the house for them? It's the same in the spiritual house as in the natural. They don't need us to define it all. They just need us to help. in the risk. So well, I looked at that and I said, how much do you want? So he said, 10,000 for starters and maybe another 2 10,000. I thought, okay, Jesus, this is going to be fun. I have no idea, but this is you. Will you help us? So then he tells me, sends me the picture of what he's bought. Next picture, and we'll go a bit quicker now. Looks a bit different than the dream. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, that looks Russian thing. So I went to a ladies' conference, about 1,000 in the US, and I said, girls, how many of you like shopping? I said, I've got a very special house for you to buy in Moldova. It wasn't a particularly huge conference. We took a 10,000 offering straight out. That's a miracle. So I sent it to them. So let's see what they did. Carry on. So they began working. But not only did Johannes begin to renovate it, he got a whole lot of the young guys who were hooked into drugs, alcohol, nothing, began to train him in trades. Just keep clicking through, you can just go. And began to train him how to make windows and doors and thing and reverse the curse of the poverty. And suddenly this building, keep going, you just click it as much. As those whole. So here are some girls. Those girls, all of them have been through abusive, difficult situations. Some of them have been raped, some of them have been through incest, some of them, one of them there watched her dad get macheted and then her brother get macheted in front of her. She was so traumatized she couldn't speak for 4 months. Some of them just have never known family, they're just lonely. Some of them more gypsy background, so they're just the trash. And so, carry on, they began to get a home. Just keep clicking. And I did mention he's Danish, didn't I? So it has a slight IKEA-esque look to it. He's done it meticulously. And this is now a house of refuge. We put them as families, so that has a divide. And all the way through, they do home, they do life together, different ages, wash up, etc. Can you see? There's a mum in the middle. Just hold, this is actually another place in Rishkan where we bought 12 acres of land for 12,000 euros again. You see, once you begin to help the poor, it's just, I don't know why, but Jesus just loves helping the poor and he loves giving us money. And suddenly, so there's another 3 kids. So 17 kids, so let's keep going. Look at the darlings. Keep going. Oh, that's back at the big house. Got a bit mixed. So just hold there. So here is summertime, summer camp. And these are the kids out in the grounds. So these girls came to us, and we keep clicking. Somehow the pictures have got a little bit muddled. She's a gypsy background girl. She was so broken. She used to hide if you walked in the room. Look at that. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Keep clicking. I was thinking of this. Oh, that's the end. I don't know. Somehow the PowerPoint's got me. But somewhere in there should have been the picture of a minibus. Because we had to buy a minibus to get these girls to school. Because if we didn't, there was a whole lot of the mafia that were trying to kidnap our kids and sell them for $5,000. And so, you see, so in the end, we bought the bus to take them to school. And then we came to summer holidays. And the kids, who were all outside, they were saying, but we can't have the bus out there. We now need to go into all the villages and tell the people what Jesus is. So they designed. So the pictures, you can see them on the swings, is them out. And here's me, preach the world. And I needed them to come and say, come on, can't we take the minibus and use it all summer to go into all the highways and byways and tell that Jesus is alive, that they don't have to be molested, downsized, abused and used, but God upgrades us and uses us for so much more. And I want to say that I know, thank you, Regina, Harvest City, you gave us an offering. That is your investment. You are shareholders in the kingdom of God. Every time we give into offerings, it's not just to pay for expenses. It's to change the world. It's to grab hold of kids. It's to actually upgrade lives far beyond we can ask, think, or imagine. And I tell you, Moldova, God is switching it round. I was just in a meeting last October. This October, I go, that big building, the Dream Centre, it's all finished already. I go in October, end of October, to open it. Not that I've done any work. But then I'm going to go and see the Princess Academy opens. Underneath, we've got all the church, everything, training centre. Isn't Jesus amazing? Absolutely amazing. But I was in one of those women's conferences, and there was a girl who came in. She'd smashed her pelvis, all her legs. She was limping so badly because someone drunk had caught her and just messed, beaten her up. And I go a lot of places, and I know I'm not going to get an honorarium, but my daddy says in his Bible, a worker is worthy of a hire. So daddy and I have a deal. I say, they're not going to pay, but daddy is. Daddy, my wages today is that girl's healing. I say, God, I won't want that girl's healing. I want to ask one thing, because I'm greedy. I want that girl's healing, because I can't do it, but you can. So can I have that check, please? So I preached all day. Every opportunity I had, I laid hands on her. Nothing happened. So I said, Daddy, please, I want that girl to walk. Well, she gets on the bus to go home. On the way home, the power of God hits her. She gets totally healed on the bus, back to where she is. The next day, I'm preaching in the gypsy church. It is packed because they all come to see what happened when Daddy touches a little girl on a bus in Moldova. Come on. I want to upgrade your expectation tonight. I know I can do nothing, but I also know I can do amazing things. Because it isn't just God who does things, it's God and us together become incredible combinations. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sorry, I've just got to put this on. Don't shut me down, otherwise my notes are going off every 15 seconds. So lift your hands to heaven. And as you lift them, I'm a very visual person, I want you to imagine your fingers are going into the sockets of heaven, that there is literally a download for you, specifically crafted for your life, for your need right now. And so, Father, right now, we unashamedly surrender to the will of God in our lives, and we plug into you. Every purpose for our lives, every provision for our lives, all that you have for me, God, I pray that I will learn how to willingly receive and activate in my life. God, I pray that every hindrance be removed. I pray every obstacle will shift. And I pray that the presence of Jesus will so utterly penetrate me, soak me, saturate me, that you change me and my thinking for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to do one thing. D&D, please come. Gordon, maybe you can help. We've bumped into you again and again. Please come, Dan and Deborah. All over the camp, we've bumped into you. And I've been a bit mean to poor Dan here. I provoked him. I know he can handle it. No, but I'll just say. But the reason I have irritated you is because I feel that God says you've downsized so much of who you are. And I believe D&D, dare to dream, D, dare to dream. And actually, I know this, just those, because you said you left England to come here because you left. But I believe I was sent as one of an English mum, a divine irritant, to say, come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And actually, there is DNA within you that gives you authority, not just to midwife, but to birth, even in the United Kingdom. And so I think that God has used me to be that mean and slightly irritating and slightly confronting to say, come on, Dan. Dare to dream of England. Dare to dream in Canada. Dare to dream in America. Expand. the width of your vision. Because I believe that on both of you is a very creative, entrepreneurial side, but also strong leadership side. And God would just say to you that I preached about these wings to stretch again. And that, you know, when Gordon preached about me last night, you see, Gordon suddenly said, actually, I have put an eagle in a budgie cage. I've made you a budgerigar. I've let religious systems, your fears, I did it to myself, my intimidation. I sat in a budgie cage. And I got sick, frustrated, and things. And I feel for both of you, precious Deborah. I feel for both of you and for Dan. God is saying, come on, wake it up in your heart, Lord. You know, I gave the challenge of 100 dreams. And God says, come on, begin to dream over nations. Begin to dream over cities. Begin to dream over young people. Begin to dream over crafting of new ways of evangelism, outreach, connection. Begin to dream of how to make the church and community a very quick step, and church to community, community to church. Begin to reverse some of the curses and the mindsets and stuff that's happened to you that's downsized, because God says, actually, I made you big. Physically, you're big. But I made this big, and I never made you to live in a budgie cage. God says, come on, it's time to stretch out, move. And God says, even financially, I break every curse over your lives financially. I break everything that when you begin to step out and begin to dream, suddenly you get contained. And God was saying these days, it is finished, and I'm going to break that curse, and a new liberation is going to come, because as you set your mind to do, I'm going to release rivers of finance for you, because actually, that budgie cage of constraint. And it's been right for a time. But God says, no longer. No longer, no longer, no longer. And you are very precious. Very, very precious. And come on, precious Deborah, awake. Irritate. Stir. Move. And you're another couple that you are well harnessed together. And God will even harness you for a venture. God will put you together for a great exploits. God will put you together for new risks and new faith ventures. And all that's contained, downsized, trodden you, God says he breaks it off. I even want to apologize to you, Danny, for what England did to you, what church did for you, what things happened there. I am sorry. And as a leader of churches in England, forgive us. But don't desert us. Don't condemn us. But I believe that there is a bridge that UK, USA, UK, Canada, and there is a triangle of the goodness of God that actually will only be satisfied when you got your feet both sides of the pond. Because God's put you a big step in you, and he wakes it back up in you, precious man. And I wake up revelation for both of you. And even Deborah, it might be easy for you to dream some of this because he knows it, but you can see it without any history. And so, Father, we wake up. Divine, prophetic, and help them. It's a 1-3-5. What do I mean by that? It's not going to be in immediately, but this next year is going to be a time of irritation. 3 years, you're going to begin to dream. 5 years, I think it's going to begin to execute. Doesn't mean you're going to move back, but I just feel there's a 1-3-5 in your life. A year to dream, 3 to strategize, 5 to begin to execute a whole next season of your life. And God blesses you. He loves you. In Jesus' name. Does that make sense? God really bless you. Well, I'm going to cheat and take my cloak back. Done. Oops, now I've killed Gordon's thing. Lovey, I really have. You'll have to sort it. I don't know what I've done to your dear thing. Okay. I don't know all the passwords, but I've crashed it and it's gone onto a page. I don't know. Let's preach. So let's have a PowerPoint. Well, tonight I'm going to speak about unshakable purpose. Unshakable purpose. You see, there is a purpose, and it is unshakable. There is a seed, it's unshakable. And it's open and shut doors, if I can have the PowerPoint up. Open and shut doors. I began, for those of you from Regina, I touched this very lightly, but I'm going to expand and develop this, because I felt prophetically for you as lifelinks, for you as churches, for Canada, for America, for us in the West. I want to preach it from micro to macro. In other words, I want to preach it to you in your house, in your life, in your marriage. But I want to preach it right upscale, because how many know the principles of God work micro and macro? So I want you to hear it with both sets of ears. And I want to go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord your God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Right there, we're almost too familiar with it. We hear God say and call himself the name, I am the God of... Remember, you preach with me. I'm the God of Alpha. I'm the God of Omega. I am the God of beginnings. I am the God of endings. I am the God who determines the start up. I am the God who determines the shut down. And in the Christian world, especially in Pentecostal, charismatic, prophetic world, we always tend to concentrate on the God of the new thing. If you look at many of our songs, he is the God of a new day. Behold, I see a new thing. This is a new season. It is new wine. We've sung it all tonight. We concentrate on the new, the opening, the breakthrough. We like the idea of that far more then singing songs about the God of closure, the God of redundancy, the God of betrayal, the God of the shut door, the God of it is finished, the God of stop. But God says, I am the God of, oh, you haven't drunk your coffee. I am the God of Alpha. I am the God of Omega. Both and. Isaiah 22:22, 1, 2, 3. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no man can shut. What he shuts, no man can open. How annoying is that? How many of you have spent hours trying to kick open a door and suddenly God says, ha-ha, I've shut it. And you can pray and you can fast and you can go skinny and you can do whatever you like. But somehow the door will not move. We always think it's the devil. Guess what? God is very good at shutting doors. So we have this theology. God is the God of the open door. The devil closes all doors. Isn't that true? Is it right? No. I've come to mess with your heads. You see, we love that God who opens doors for us. But I believe in this day, in this age, God is asking us, church, will we grow up and begin to learn to understand the God of the shut door and the incredible opportunity and kindness and goodness of God in shutting things to distract us and reorientate us to actually get us back on track. You see, God closes doors to go, da-da-da-da, hello, finished. The finance suddenly shuts. A relationship suddenly shifts. Your best friend suddenly tells you they're moving But everything was all lined up. It was all going to be so perfect. I can't believe you're doing this now. Hello? A business suddenly closes, a job. You see, life has start and stop. And I believe that God tonight wants to show you what is the gift of a prophet. Very quickly, I believe a gift of a prophet. Okay, I prophesied over Dan and Deborah, D&D, Dare to Dream. That was straight on, that's what expect a prophet. But I believe my greatest gift to you this week, whatever, is to do something else. It's to help you come to context for your life so that you walk out of here and go, oh, this is that. A prophet opens your eyes so that you can see. Oh, this makes sense. This is that. Hello. A prophet gives context. A prophet helps you discern. A prophet opens an atmosphere so that which is confused suddenly comes into alignment. Do you get? And I pray by the grace of God tonight, many of you who felt betrayed, let down by God, confused, felt where were you, will get an aha moment. Oh, this is that. God says to you, it's time to shut some doors. Come on, get that door and slam it. In the spirit. Come on, imagine with me. Boom. You see, we need, how many of you know it takes courage to shut a door? You see, God would say to you, there are some doors that are open that still lead a way of life. And it's really hard to recognize when a season is finished when we're sentimentally involved and still enjoying the journey. But we know in our spirit that God's saying, let it go. It's done. Let them go. Come on, mama. He's a big boy now. He's 32. He can do it. Shut that door. We need to recognize when seasons are finished and not be sentimental. We need to receive a new grace. And this is what I believe God wants to give you. A new grace to say, it is finished. Remember John chapter 19, verse 30. This is Jesus on the cross. Read it with me. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he clung on to life, said, you can't kill me. I'm the Son of God. With that, he bowed his head and gave up. And gave up. And gave up. You see, in these seasons, we have a choice. We either give up or get taken from. Was Jesus murdered? Was Jesus murdered? No, because the definition of murder is to violently take a life. Did anyone take Jesus' life? No. Why? Because he preempted it and said, you can't take it because I'm already going to give it. Do you understand? You see, I believe, and I could go through my life again and again, there are times, prophetic, just normal people, doesn't matter if you're prophetic, prophetic, whatever, we're not very good at finishing well. How many would say you've been in church long enough to see people finish badly? How many know you've finished some things badly? How many know you're much more excited about startup than finish up? So are we going to come pray this prayer with me? Father, tonight, I pray you will teach me the God of Omega and that grace. Because you see, if we begin to learn to recognize finishes, seasons of closure without getting bitter, twisted, competitive, what a different place the world would be. You see, there are moments, just like Jesus, when do you know it is finished? How many of you had that moment? You walked into your work, there's nothing wrong, but suddenly inside you, you thought, it's finished. Give me a wave. There are just times when you walk in and you think, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but something's just gone, we're done. Sorry, not allowed in marriage, just in case you begin to apply it there. Mama Bear is... Okay, do you get what I'm saying? Otherwise, Mama Bear is going to go, no, not on my watch. So I'm not talking marriage. There are other situations in your workspace, in your thing, in a relationship. I remember a prayer group. Love my prayer group. It was just going, flying. I visited Wednesday morning and I sat there and suddenly I felt like I was a plant pot. It was like I'd been uplifted, stuck in this pot, and I was in the room watching them. I thought, Jesus, is this? And he said, it's finished. I said, don't be stupid. This is my life. Of course it's not finished. Rebuke the devil. But you know, it was never the same from that moment. Why? Because God needed to shift me. You see, we can be sentimental and we hang on for too long. And God is saying, hello, it's finished. And Jesus was able to bow his head, recognize his moment, give up his spirit. Abraham had to move from a place without knowing where he was going to. God just says, it's finished. Where am I going to go? Wait and see. That's not funny, but that's the way I work. Shut the door. No, I want to know which door is opening. Hard luck. Go into the grave. Have the stone on the tomb. I'm not talking to you for 3 days. You get what I'm saying? And you see, in our life, we are taught the whole time to work from Alpha to Omega. We track linearly for A to Z. But nobody trains us how to go to Z to A. Now, when we've lived the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, N, O, Z, bang, how do I get back to A? But I believe our nation. I believe many marriages. I believe many callings. I believe, and I don't mean marriages in the sense that you're about to break up, but you just feel in your marriage we're not quite in the right place. We're not functioning in quite the right way. Something needs to shift in our house, in our world. There's something more for us to do, but we don't know how to get from Z to A. How do we do it? We need to declutter. God would say to you, this is a season to declutter. I want to ask you a question. How many of you would say in your life right now, you are already stretched time-wise 110%? So you are maxed out with all your time commitments. So now I come to you and say, wow, God's got something new. Have you got space for it? Have you got space to dream for it? Have you got money to give to it? Have you got thinking time? No, because you're already living 110%. So I just stack on another thing and another thing. And then you wonder why you think, help, get me out, I'm going to die. Because we keep adding. We never let go. We never shut doors. Because we're scared. What have I let go to grow? What if I'm like Abraham and I shut some doors and I walk into nothing? Do you get what I'm trying to do here? Can you understand? And so you see, Leviticus 26, 9 to 10 says, I look on you with favor. I've got an upgrade for you. I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to increase responsibility. I'm going to give you dream. And Dan and Debs are thinking, thanks a lot, but where, how, when? Because you've got to shut some doors to make room for the new. Because you're saying, yay, it's upgrade. God's going to give us so much more. How am I going to pack that in when I'm already 100% stressed? Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 rabbit, run. God wants to give you LifeLinks, give you America, give you Canada, give you Regina, Lewiston, Calgary, Creston, all the other places, Bonners Ferries, I can't remember. I said Lewiston, didn't I? Twice. Saskatoon. He wants to give you something new. But which doors are you going to shut to make room for the new? Because he then says, you will have to move out last year's harvest to make room for the new. You see, that's mean. He doesn't say last year's garbage. He doesn't say the irritants. He doesn't say the trash. He says the harvest. Those are the things you did well. Those are your badges of honor. Those are the things. He said, yay, God, wasn't that great? And he said, move it over. Do you get what I'm saying? Takes courage. You see, God looks at Abraham, he's wealthy, and says, come on, I want you to move. I remember when Gordon and I first went to Africa in 1984. We'd been married 3 years. I was a mum of a six-month-old baby. Our church had not committed any finance to us to send at that time. We were the pastor's kids. And I don't know, somehow, it was because we were the pastor's kids, they just thought, well, somehow, mum, dad, they're okay. No one gave us any money. Also, we ran our own business, and we were those who had really contributed in the life of the church and the growing of the church. I think they just thought we were stinking rich. We were actually mice poor. So there I am with my baby in my stroller, walking in the road saying, God, you really need to help us. And I had a squirrel bank account because I had worked. I'm a clinical biochemist. I'd worked professionally in a hospital and I had a pension fund. But now I'd resigned. I could get access to it. And it was my little backstop, which God didn't know, Gordon didn't know. It was my secret space that's coming to take over. And I'm like, seriously, God, that's not funny. Stop it. Anyway, I did. We only had one car in those days. I remember I walked all the way to the bank to get it. I can't remember. It was a fair ways. It must have been an hour odd. Got the check, walked back, walked to the pastor's house, got rid of it fast because I knew I'd never have the courage to do it again. I did it. We literally had to clear out everything to make room for the new. So we gave away everything. Literally gave away everything. Sold a house, went to Africa. We then ended up in Kenya. And God had blessed us, given everything back. We ended up in Kenya. And Reinhardt came to us. We worked with him, about 4 years? And he said, I want you to go to the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia. We had a beautiful home. I was now just delivered our second baby, David, set up all the nursery. I'd had it 6 weeks. And it was the first time I'd had a cot and everything for my baby. Because little Nicola had lived in a drawer of a chest of drawers the whole way as we traveled through Africa. I just set up my nursery. And God said, clear it all out, make room for the new. I said, but God, how? He said, go down to the CPK guest house, which was the missionary guest house. He says, you're going to find people. We found a family with 5 kids who had literally run away from Idi Amin. They had just picked up everything they had and ran. She was pregnant. She looked at me and could see I had a baby. She said, you don't have pregnancy bras and dress to you. I had nothing. I left everything. And she was about 30 weeks. I said, I've got them all. She said, would you mind if I try them on? Because I'm actually naked underneath. I ran with what I had. I said, come into my room. We dressed her and it perfectly fitted. Isn't God so good? I just said, there's my robe. She said, they're my perfect colors. And she said, I even had that dress. How does Jesus do that? She then walked into the nursery where little David was. She said, and she just knelt down and sobbed. She said, that train set laid out like that. We ran out of my kid's room and I left the train set on the floor, virtually set up like that as we ran for our lives. My kids are going to walk in here. It's going to be home. We cleared out everything, made room for the new. We arrived in Malaysia, God bless us. We finally came home back to England in 1990. We had nothing. Just before we came here, we did a financial review. I looked at the guy and I said, we had nothing in 1990. We returned as missionaries here. Gordon is going to be 70. I'm going to be 60. We're married 40 years. Just have a look at our finances. Have we got any hope? And he looked at us and he said, you're good. That is a miracle. It's a miracle. I had no intention of telling that. Things squeak out. But you see, I believe that God is asking you to move out some things to make room for the new. There are mindsets. There are attitudes that have begun to hinder your life. You see, there was one time that these things were there to serve you. They were harvests in your life. But unfortunately now, the very things that served you, fed you, sustained you, were absolutely perfect for you, have now become a hindrance and have become time-consuming. They've become clutter and they need to move out to make room for the new. We're in a season where we need to let go in order to grow. You see, not every closure needs to be negative. Most of our lives, when we look back and we say, bang, the door went, so often, unfortunately, it was because of betrayal. How many of you know that? It was because of redundancy. It was because of nastiness. But I believe God is saying, come on, church, grow up, move before it has to get ugly. Because if we stay in the wrong place for too long, then things happen that literally vomit us out. I don't want to be vomited out. I want to walk out. And there's a new grace that needs to come on us, but it takes courage. If I'm preaching this hard, it's because this is a season I'm living in. This is literally, God's had me on the carpet for the last 6-9 months, and he's been explaining to me. And for me, it's been a massive understanding of the shaking, shaking, shaking. Remember, he's unshakable, but everything's being shaken. And we need to reposition and shift. You see, this is a season of shift, and we need to be willing to move. Not because it's bad, but because it's necessary for the alignments and positionings of where he needs us for the next day. God is asking you to make some big decisions about doors that need to be shut. In your heart, you've already felt, actually, this doesn't fit as well. I need to move. There needs to be adjustment. But I have come tonight, and I believe with the mercy and grace of God, to give you a perspective and understanding of how to go from Omega to Alpha. How many would say, yeah, you're making sense, I can feel this. Just put your hands up, wave them, and please have a look around. It's not the altar call, so you can have a good stare. You see, I want you to have a look because something is happening. So God wants to give you grace to move from Omega to Alpha. How did Jesus give up his life, cry, it is finished, and then 3 days later, rise up with resurrection life in a whole new day? I believe for many of you here, God is supernaturally going to download in times of revelation and impartation how now you step up into your next season. God is going to give you new skills. Isaiah 43 said this, forget the former things. Do not live with a sentimental attitude, dwelling, residing in yesterday. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it is already springing up. Do you perceive it? I call this a very Oxford theological term. It is called the sniffing anointing. Can you sniff it? Can you perceive it? How many of you know what I mean? Sometimes you can just smell it in the air. Come on, God wants to open that spiritual sniffing. Can you perceive it? Can you smell it? Can you see it? I am making a way in the In the garden. No, I'm making a way in the... Uh-oh. I don't like God's love affair with the wilderness. In the wilderness, I will make a highway. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In the... Moses came up out of the wilderness. David came up out of the wilderness. Joseph came up out of the... God, can I come up out of the garden? The wilderness is not the problem. We get so focused on what is going wrong. Oh, America's going down. Canada's going down. Britain's going. The wilderness is never the problem to God. God loves the conflict of a wilderness. But he needs people who are willing to get in the wilderness. I am making a way for you in the wilderness. Because you reverse every curse. You change barren into fruitful. You change wicked into righteous. You change broken into healed. You change suicidal into hope-filled. You are the reversers of the curse. You open up what's shut down. Can you smell it? You see, God wants you to realize that he is making a way in the wilderness. You see, I believe we have been living in a building season. The prophetic anointing, or the prophets, apostles, Ephesians 2:20, they're foundational. Jesus, the cornerstone, prophets and apostles. And for over the last 5-7 years, much of the prophetic influence has actually been underground. You can't see it. The prophets are like the spiritual architects. We bring the blueprint. We put a map down, which then gets built. And then the prophetic gets lost, inverted commas, because we've done our job and it's gone foundational. It's holding up the building, but it's done its job because it's decreed it, planned it, structured it, blueprinted it. And then the apostolic builds it, and the pastors, teachers, evangelists fill it, job done. If you look back at Toronto, Father's Blessing, many of the rhythms of our church, there was a strong prophetic anointing in 1994, a lot of intercession, prophetic breakthrough, but it's changed. How many would agree that the prophetic, we've sort of downsized it, and I don't mean that, but just to personal prophecy, I see Dan, Deborah, etc. But the big scale, blueprint, architectural, prophetic input for nations, cities, has not been so strong. Would you agree? Why? Because that we have had to work foundationally. But now God is giving us a new land. He says, can you not see it? I'm making a way in a wilderness. Come on, prophets, wake up. Come on, apostles, wake up. Come on, great cornerstone Jesus, show us the way. We're going right back to basics. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. So is the door shutting because we've been bad? No, I believe, bang, 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 mission accomplished. It is finished. Did Jesus die because he'd been bad? Did he complete the task given to him? Then he cried, it is finished. Went into the grave, rose up to start his next mission. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So the closure and the shifting is not because you've been bad. It's because there's a season shift, both in your life. It might be your age. It might be your season. It might be because where your children are. This is both micro, remember? Macro, what about in the nations? We need to disconnect, reconnect, to get in the right position to build the right thing for the next season. You see, we have lived in a very... teacher, pastor, evangelist, sort of building on foundation season. So most of my work as a prophet has been sitting with teams, helping them build, asking them awkward questions, provoking them, how in the decor of the house, but it's not foundational shifting nation stuff. But now there is a shift. I feel God has said, it is finished. It is a new day. Do you understand what I'm doing here? And so many people, suddenly we're going to find our place again. On December the 12th, 12th day of the 12th month, I was invited to our Houses of Parliament by one of the Lords, House of Lords. And God, he's a wonderful Christian man, but God had woken him up, and this was in last September, so I got the date this time last year. And he said, God's told me to find 12 prophets to gather on the 12th day of the 12th month in the House of Lords, and I booked the committee room. So we gathered. I had no idea. He wouldn't release the list. So I had no idea who else was there and if I'd even know them. So we gather. It just so happened in the orchestration of God that that was the day that Theresa May, our Prime Minister, had a no vote confidence of her leadership, which would direct the whole of our nation. So he looks at us. He's a Conservative MP. She is a Conservative Prime Minister. Said, what's going to happen? So I walked in and I said to Gordon, because Gordon had come with me to take me in the house because it was late at night. I didn't want to do London by myself. And as he left me at the door, I said to Gordon, note this because I'm frightened I will wriggle, but I want to look you in the eye. Theresa May will win and it'll be 200 votes. Note it, write it down, record it for me so that I don't wriggle it. Any of you feel like that? You think I'm... So we did, walked in, and I met another girlfriend, and I said, we have got to show that the prophets are going to be foundational for the shift of Britain in this season. I said, write down what will happen and the votes. Turn it over. I'm going to do the same. And I said, I won't mention his name. When the Lord actually asks us, we must tell him, the prophets are in the house, we're going to turn it. And I pray by, I didn't know what she wrote, she didn't know what I wrote. I said, I pray by the grace of God that the prophets are in the land to be foundational for the shift that needs to happen. I made it sound like it was for him. It wasn't, it was also for me. I needed to know this is a new day. Turned over the paper, Theresa May wins 200 votes. My friend over turns the paper over, Theresa May wins 200 votes. He begins to cry, turns over his phone because he's already had the result before the media. Theresa May wins 200 votes. So we have been in the house regularly every time he keeps calling us. So in May, he called us again. He said, we need a council. Does Theresa May need to go or stay for Brexit? What needs to happen? We all prayed. I said, God's give me one word. Mayday, 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 mayday. Her time is up. It's an alarm. She needs to move. There was a consensus around the table. We prayed. Let her go now in Jesus' name. We needed to hold her in position because it was correct. But the new thing is arising right now. We shift it in Jesus' name. Open way for the new. He said, who's the new? We prayed, God gave us the joker in the pack. We all burst out laughing. We knew who it was Boris Johnson. It was impossible. So we all prayed, we said, we decree right now that Boris Johnson will be the Winston Churchill, who will be our help in time of trouble. He will shift our nation, get us back on alignment. He might not be the nicest person, but we believe that he is God-ordained man for this job, and we decree it now, right now, in this committee room, that he will be elected. He is now, on the day I left to come here, he is elected as my Prime Minister, and I thank God for Boris, and he is God's ordained man. We're going to put foundations into the heart of the nation. Now I like this. Come on, some of us have got stuck, and God has shifted me completely into a very different place. You see, the new day, it starts with a seed. God would say this. This new day, it starts with a seed. Gordon talked. How many of you love what Gordon shared? Isn't he fantastic? How many of you understand I am what I am? Because I have an incredible man. If someone scratches my back, he just cuddles me and says, it's okay, Rachel, you're fantastic. I love him dearly. And the church loves him. He is daddy to everyone. And he talked about the seed. But the new day, it starts with a seed. God woke me up with that phrase. It starts with a seed. He gives you an acorn, not an oak tree. It's so annoying. He prophesies all that great stuff, but the problem is he gave it to you as a seed. And he says 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and at 5 years you'll begin to execute. You think, come on, God, just give it to me. But it starts with a seed. I really believe for Lifelinks, for America, for Canada, that 2019 is a year of preparation. And if you will make courageous decisions for your personal lives, your church life, your corporate lives, your network life, or whatever you call it, that you will set a compass of alignment that will actually position you to be a house of apostolic and prophetic foundations. But I believe that you don't, God doesn't give you the best of two, he gives you the best of five. I believe that actually your network should have the best of five. God gives five gifts. He gives an evangelist, teacher, pastor, prophet, apostle. God says, eat your five a day, the church will be healthy, wealthy, and whole. He don't, and you can't skip it and say, well, I just like bananas. I'm going to eat, stuff my face with five bananas. I love the pastor. Everyone loves the pastor. He's cuddly, he's nice, he's sweet. When everyone's being mean, he makes you feel safe. So we eat five bananas. Give me the best. You know, I eat five a day. I just have a pastor. I hate the prophet. We don't like the prophet. But God actually says in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, he says, I gift to you. Did you know God has gift-wrapped five gifts? I gift to you a pastor, a teacher, come on, evangelist, a prophet, and an apostle. He gift-wrapped, and he said, these are gifted to you to equip you, to build you up, to bring you to completion. And verse 13 says, and these must continue until you are totally mature. You've done your job. You're all finished. Then you can say, skip the veg. I'm done. But until then, you need five a day. And if you want to grow up, looking balanced, fit, ready for action, you need all five. Evangelists, they're going to make the feet of the body look great. They're going to teach you to go out. They're going to teach you how to cross the street. Not all mission crosses the sea. Some just needs to cross the street. And so the nations across your street. They're going to teach you how to talk. Evangelists do your feet. Shepherd does your heart. Teacher does your mind. Apostle, apostolic helps your hands. What about the prophet? What does a prophet train in a body? Eyes, what else? Ears, what else? Mouth, the prophet speaks. So if in your church you say, well, we don't like the prophet, we just have it once a year. So for 363, 4 days, you're deaf, blind, and stupid. And then you get a prophet in to wake, open your eyes, clean your ears out, help you speak. Do you wonder why the church looks deaf, blind, and stupid most of the time? Because so much of the church is, we don't need the prophet, we like five bananas. And so the pastors look after them and they just get more and more bunged up and they can't move. I'm being naughty, but you get what I'm saying. But you understand what I'm saying. And I believe in Lifelinks. So I want to challenge you. This was just a thought I had this afternoon. Well, actually chatting with Joel last night. I began to think, why just apostolic prophetic? Why not begin to set a model of the gift of church with Ephesians 4 evangelists, Ephesians 4 teachers, Ephesians 4 prophets, so that actually we service the nations at a whole nother level and we put them together and we eat five a day and so that we become healthy, wealthy and wise. We can see, we can hear, we can feel, we can think, we can move, we can build. Just a thought. At the beginning of this year, I felt God say 2019 is going to be a year of preparation. Why? Get ready for 2020. Come on, 2020 vision. You're going to need the prophet back in the beginning of the 2020 decade. God wants to help you see what is about to happen. It's a seeing time. And then God said this to me. He said the decade, 2020 decade, is going to be as significant culturally to set the way of this century, of the 21st century, as 1960s was in the 20th century. Just as a massive cultural shift. Remember all the social agenda. Think of all the songs, the music, make love, not war. The whole reaction. Now you look at 2020, we've got a whole generation, save the planet, get rid of plastic, you know, etc. We're becoming socially, culturally aware. Also, we're beginning to shift. 1960s, mate love, contraception. We began to push the whole idea that sex was for marriage, sex was for fun, and we take a pill and stuff the rest of you, it's none of your business. There was that huge cultural shift. Now we come to 2020s, and sex is sex, straight, whatever, it doesn't matter. And you can't get what I'm saying, but I believe God is saying to us, if we will get ready, we have an opportunity. Talking to me. So I'm going to finish with this. God wants to say to you, it's time for agitation. The prophet comes to agitate. You see, it starts with a seed. It's time for agitation. It starts with a seed. You may feel, well, nothing grows, but God says, no, I've given you seed. So I want you to pretend there's seed in your hand and agitate it, rub it. Pretend there's like seed in your hand and just rub it, agitate it, stir it. You see, I was walking with my dog over the back where we lived, and I came to one of my favorite little roads. And there was a Navi, a guy, sitting there digging all the dirt. And everything in me, none of my business. But I go, oh, that's my favorite bit. And it didn't exactly look like he was going to put it back pretty. And he looks at me and he says, don't worry, ma'am. And this is in England. And they don't usually call us ma'am in England. So I think he must have been a Texan angel. He said, don't worry, ma'am. In 5 months, it will be poppies. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, certain seed has lain in the ground for a long time. But before it germinates, it needs agitation. And so when you come and you dig and you turn the soil, it begins to shift it for its purpose and it begins to grow. I'm going, that will preach. I then begin walking away, and then he turns me around and says, no, come here, next slides, please. He said, I want you to think of the fields of Flanders in France. He said, there were no poppies in the fields of Flanders until the Second World War, when they began to go in and they dug that ground, and they began to turn it over. They dug the trenches, they walked that land, and suddenly, just click through them, actually, that's the Canada one. You can't see it too well if you turn those eyes. And so we're so familiar now with the poppies. And still to today, the fields of Flanders has poppies. Why? Because we've kept agitating the soil ever since that time of war. Why? Because it starts with a seed. I want to prophesy to you that there is seed that is being deposited all over Canada, all over America. There's seed that's in your family line. There's seed that's in your journal. There's seed that's in your children. There's seed that's in your DNA. And God is saying, come on, it's time to agitate. It starts with a seed. But you've got to move out the old to make room for the new. You've got to begin to stir ground that looks barren. For I will make a way in the wilderness. And you think there's nothing there. But God says, there's an unshakable purpose. I have a great, great grandmother, 49 years old, and I finish with this. And if there's someone for worship, that'd be great, especially for Keys. And she was 49 years old. She walked out of her home, sat on the bankside in the Rhondda Valley of Wales, put her apron over her head, because yet again, her drunken mining husband had come back and beaten her up. She had 6 kids. She sat on that grass and began to weep. She was sitting near one of the big air vents from the underground mines. What she didn't know was it was 1905, and there was a revival amongst the miners of Wales. And as she sat there weeping in desperation with her kids, she began to hear the miners who used to cuss and kick their donkeys. Here is love, vast as the ocean. And they began to sing the song of revival of the miners. It began to overwhelm her as she sat there and she met the presence of God. She got born again. She began to pray. She prayed for her 6 kids. She prayed for my father, who was her first grandson. But my dad was a stubborn atheist, did nothing. My grandmother died. Not one person came to Jesus in her cognitive knowledge on earth. She died in 1954 now. A man called Billy Graham came to London. He was going to hold a big mission. My dad was a research chemist in Nottingham University for Kodak, researching color formats of film. There was a man called Gordon Penny who came and joined his research team, and Gordon began to irritate him. Hijacked him with the goodness of God, began to pray for him. My dad got born again. My mum got born again. My dad's brother got born again. My dad's sister got born again. My mum's sister got born again. My mum and dad, who were barren at that point and could not have children, suddenly had me. I am born again. I have 2 children, David and Nicola. They are born again. I have 5 grandchildren, and already 3 of them are absolutely born again, filled with the Spirit. And Leela, my 10-year-old child, has just preached at Sydney Hillsong Kids Conference for 10 minutes on how you overcome fear. And it is stunning. 7, 8 generations on. My granny died thinking nothing happened. I want to say there is seed in the ground and we need to begin to agitate it. It took Gordon Penny to begin to agitate. It will be written in the grandmother. And the rest will be written in history. Why don't you stand with me? Come on, Jesus. You see, this is upgrade season. I felt God wants you to say to you, there is more. Just say that with me. There is more. You know, more is a biblical word. More. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask Him? How many of you want an upgrade? There is more. What do you have to do? Ask Him. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask Him? Ephesians 3:20. He will give you abundantly, immeasurably more above all you can or ask or... It's upgrade season. But I believe to upgrade, you need to give yourself space to dream. Some of us are so cluttered, overwhelmed, we can't even think of our name. And God's saying, come on, shut some doors, make some space. This is a new day. Agitate some seeds. I am going to give you more, but make time to ask and dream. So come, Holy Spirit. Some of you, because I do this all the time, you're in the house, and before we can do anything more, I want to give you the opportunity to upgrade your relationship with Jesus. If you're really honest, you came to camp and you're minimal or maybe disconnected. But right now, in the presence of God, if you know you need to ask for more of Jesus in your life because you shut the door for him and he's not really central to you, right now, wherever you are in this space, come here, please. I want to pray for you. Just come. If you know that actually you've got offended with God, you got bitter, you felt doors shut, stuff's gone on, thank you, sweetheart. Break that thing. Just come. There's others of you in this house. Just come. Because God so loves you. Come to Jesus. This is your upgrade. The first day of the eighth month. And eight in the Bible means new beginnings. What an appropriate day to come running to Jesus. This is a shoulder to shoulder. Come, if you're coming for prayer, just come right here, stand up, shoulder to shoulder. Just come. And I want you to lock into Jesus and just say, on this first day of the eighth month, right now, I am opening every door of my heart, every door of my life, everything that I've shut down. I'm saying, come in now in Jesus' name. Bless you. Is there anyone else? Just you come. If you want to stand and just pray for them gently with their hand on your back because you know them, do come. If you're just thinking, yay, Jesus, I want to stand with them, just come, stand. Don't pray for them yet. Just put your hands on them. Let them just know we've got your back and we're helping you find Jesus. Just come right in, shoulder to shoulder. Right now, just put your hand, just one. Don't overcrowd them. It's hot. Is there anyone else? And you're saying, I want to mark this day, the first day of August, is my birthing day for an upgrade with Jesus. Anyone else in this house? For those of you who are saying that to Jesus today, I want you to put your hands up to heaven like you did at the beginning. Those in the front here, just say, and I want you to stick those hands up and say, this is my upgrade day. I'm going up. The devil has tried to drag me down. But I today stand here and say it is my upgrade. Amen. So right now, just say this with me. Father, today, all of us, every door I have shut, I open to you, Jesus. Come into my life. Reverse every curse. And take hold of my life. I am sorry for every wrong choice I have made. Please forgive me. But right now, I step out of my old life. I step up into a new way. And I receive today, on the first day of the eighth month, a new beginning with Jesus. Amen.